Amen. Most of you know, but some may not know, that our campus has had a preschool for nearly 50 years. What an incredible ministry it's been to this community. And nearly a decade ago, they launched into having an elementary school and even went up to high school at some times. So this last few days, Todd and I, along with Sandra Kopsar, who's a board member, and Becca Johnson, who is one of the school teachers, traveled up to Virginia to see how we might be able to enhance what we're doing in our school, to be able to extend our reach to our community and provide quality Christian education, to have a footprint in our community larger for Christ. So I want to just ask you, if you would, be praying for our schools, praying for our board, as they're making some decisions for the upcoming year. I think we have incredible potential to expand what we're doing and provide even something greater than we've already had in the past. And so be praying for that. Now, we're in a series called Questions. For the last few weeks, I've been just kind of sharing some answers to questions that people typically ask me as I'm in the ministry, and what is God's will? What is God like? We've dealt with that. Today, I need to answer a question before I get into the message. I need to answer a question some of you have already asked me. How is Thaddeus? Last week, as I was sharing my message, I informed you about the little information I had about Thaddeus. Thaddeus is my five-year-old who, just a few minutes before the service started, he was out there on the cement playing around. And though we're very thankful, we have a handrail that helps some people get from the parking lot up to the level platform. He doesn't see that as a handrail. He sees that as a gymnastic bar. And he was on that rolling and flipped over it, fell, and did cut his head open. Jennifer and thank you, Marie Leon. I think actually they're out of town this week, but they went up to the Duluth CHOA, the Children's Hospital up there, and he received 4 stitches, and he's just fine. And to my knowledge, though I've been out of town all week, I don't think he's climbed on anything. But what else are five-year-old boys supposed to do anyway, right? But he is fine. He's totally fine. He's a normal five-year-old, and now just a few more bumps and bruises and some stories to tell. Though I think both Jennifer and I aged quickly during the process. So anyway, so today I want us to talk about a specific question I'm asked actually quite often. And it's this question: why hasn't God answered my prayer? Every one of us pray. We seek God's provision. We seek God's wisdom. We seek God's best in our situation. And we pray. We ask the God that we trust to answer us. But sometimes we're in that time of waiting, or we just haven't seen the answer. And so we ask the question, and people will call and say, why hasn't God answered my prayer? I've been praying for the health of this person. I've been praying for financial recovery. I've been praying for that job, and God has not provided for that. Why hasn't he answered my prayer? Is there something wrong with me? Am I not praying right? Do I need to change my physical position? Do I need to lay on my face? Do I need to stand up and walk around? What am I doing wrong? I'm not getting the answer that I've been asking for. Well, it's a common question. Even in the Old Testament, Job asked something very similar. In Job chapter 30, verse 20, he says, I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand up, and you only look at me. I think if we're all honest and transparent this morning, we've all had those kind of thoughts. I'm asking, I'm crying out, and I feel like God's just kind of staring at me, but he's not saying anything. It's deathly silent. You know, prayer is one of the most precious gifts that God has invited us to use. Now, some people see prayer as more of a ritual, a meaningless ritual. We just kind of say some words, we go over it, like we pray the prayer of Jabez every day, or we pray this particular thing we were taught as a child, and we just kind of go through the ritual. Some people pray for their meal, which you should do, and thank the Lord for it. You should probably pray before you eat and after you eat, just thanking God that you were able to enjoy that. We pray always at our family table, and it's kind of funny when the kids go, God, we pray this is good. And I'm like, what are you saying about your mom? We know it's good. Just thank God that he has gifted her to cook. But some people pray for their meal, but they really never focus on anything more than their plate. We ought to be praying with the relationship with our Father. Some people think prayer is more like Aladdin's lamp. Your wish is my command. Just rub the belly of the lamp and you get everything you want. Some people think it's like a magic wand. You just kind of wave it around and God has to do everything you ask. Some people think prayer is like a first aid kit. Break only in case of an emergency. It's the last resort for some. Some people think prayer is like a tug of war. It's a push and pull until you can win God over. Listen, I'm absolutely confident that God wants to answer your prayers. Even in those times when we're like Job, I'm crying out, and it appears to me that he's not answering. God desires to answer your prayer. You should be asking him at any time, any place, anywhere, asking God for your needs. So what's the problem? Is God falsely advertising? Is he saying, ask me, but then you don't always get what you want? I love Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. It says to us, this is his calling to us, call to me, and what does he say? I will answer. Now, Job says, I'm calling out and you're not answering. I don't hear from you right now. But Jeremiah is saying, no, this is what God's saying to us. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God wants us to ask. So why is it that we get between Jeremiah 33 and Job 30 and there's confusion? Are you just teasing us? How many of you have always gotten everything you've asked of God? Not a hand. But I guarantee you that God has listened. Let me remind you of God's answers. You know, God has more than one answer. He doesn't always say yes. Just like your parents when you were growing up, did they always say yes to you? If they did, we have words for those kind of kids. We won't say all of them here. I mean, you'd be spoiled. I mean, you'd be rotten. You wouldn't actually have the best. Let me throw up three answers here that I believe God gives us. And you can take, if you're taking notes on the back of your program today, three answers God gives us. Sometimes he does say yes to how you've asked it, the way you've asked it, the humility of your heart. You're seeking God's best and you're asking God to fulfill. And he goes, yes, that's my heartbeat as well. And I want to answer that. Just as you've described, because you have my mind on this situation. And that's the preferred answer for all of us. Sometimes he says, wait, and this is a little more difficult. Maybe what you've asked is right, but your timing is off. Maybe God has some more work to do in you or around the circumstance and situations. And he said, just hold on, be patient. You know, one of the most difficult things for all of us is patience. Some of you are more patient than others, but if you're anything like me, I love God's answers, and I love them today. You know, I'm not patient. I have to play the long game with him. I'm just like, I just don't understand. God, you could create the world with your voice. Why is it you wait for years sometimes to fulfill the answer? Where I'm thinking almost as if he said no, but he's not said no, he's just said wait. But quite frankly, there are times when God just says no. What you're asking is not the right thing. It's not the best thing. You don't understand my heart. You don't understand my mind. And I'm just going to refuse you on this. Doesn't mean he's going to stop working in and through your life, but he will have something different for you than what you've asked. And so those are the kind of things I want to look at today. You know, talking about answered prayers where he always says, yes, that's easy to speak about. That's easy to think about. Even the waiting gives us a hope. Okay, well, at least he's going to answer my prayer at some point the way I've asked it. But the most difficult part of us to adopt is when God says no, and then now what do? How do we live in the world when we're asking of God, the very God who says, call to me, and I will answer, and then he says no? How do we respond as his children? That's what I want us to focus on just for the next few moments. There are many examples in scriptures where God has said no to people. You know, Abraham, after he had Ishmael and before Isaac, he was asking God, Lord, just let Ishmael be the heir, the one that fulfills your promise. And God said, no, that's not my plan. Moses asked to go into the promised land in Deuteronomy 3 and just say, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to make it. And God says, no, you're not going to go. 2 Samuel, David's praying, Lord, save this baby that is of Bathsheba and I. Though this baby was conceived in sin, just save this baby. Keep this baby alive after it was born. And God said, no, for his own purposes. Sometimes God says no even to the greatest of spiritual people of the Bible. And we're left to ask the question sometimes, why? Why? Why does God say no? Sometimes God says no, even though you must remember he still loves you. Sometimes the best answer he can give you is no, and it expresses his love greater than you can ever imagine. So today I want us to consider three answers, three reasons why God sometimes says no to us. You can follow along by taking notes. The first one is this: when God has a bigger perspective. Now, God always has a bigger perspective. Why does God say no? Because sometimes he has a bigger perspective on the situation. You have not been able to determine the mind or will of God on this. You're asking perhaps with the right motives, but you don't have all the knowledge. And so God says no to your specific request sometimes because of his greater perspective. He has a wider viewpoint than you and I do. He can see what you cannot see. Not only what's going on in the situation, but he can see future. And he knows all the details and is actually being able to manipulate those details for his own purposes. He knows everything. But we have to be humble enough to realize we have limited knowledge. We get sometimes kind of prideful and arrogant that we know everything and we know what's best here and our strategies are best, but that's not true, that God has the broader, more wise perspective on all things. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Everything is seen by God. God can see everything. Nothing can be hidden from him. He has the widest perspective of all. Life is unpredictable to us. We cannot predict the future nor the consequences of our decisions or actions. Imagine what it would be like if you, just for a day, were omniscient. You knew everything. God is omniscient. He knows every detail. Imagine if you were omniscient just for a day. How many of you would love to have that? Would it make life easier if you knew everything? Are you still with me here? Kind of this deadpan look. You know, maybe you're just kind of thinking, wow. If you knew everything, it may change the way you invest. You'd invest in your stocks differently, your retirement. Would you do that differently if you knew everything for that day? It may change your perspective of the route you may take to work or to the grocery store. Because you'll know where the wrecks are going to be. 285, just stay off 285. All right, you'll know these things. It may change the way you take a test because you'll know the questions already to prepare for, and you'll have all the answers. If you knew everything, you'd know what to say to every individual you speak with that day because you'll know what their needs are, what they're desiring, what maybe you can answer. But God doesn't give us the gift of omniscience. He gives us the gift of prayer and dependence upon him. He has a greater perspective. We're not omniscient, but God is. So consider this verse, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. For the Lord gives wisdom. And later in the text says, knowledge and understanding. And then what does he do as he gives these things? He's guarding the paths of the justice, and he's watching over the ways of the saints. You know, one of the greatest gifts he gives us beyond prayer is that he will give us his wisdom, but also in that, he is guarding and protecting us. Sometimes when he says no is because he knows all things, and he's preventing certain things from happening to us if we were to get the answer that we asked for. His perspective is protective for us. Parents understand that when you say no from a child who wants to run across the street, they may not understand that you're not just limiting their freedom, you're preserving their life. And that when God says no, there are things you don't understand, but God does, and he is there to shield you and protect you, watch over you. I can say no to some of the, God can say no to the requests that we have because of his protection. Consider Paul's attempt to go to Asia in Acts chapter 16. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So they had to be rerouted. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow Paul and his traveling team. Did not allow them. Said, no, you can't go that way. So they went down to Troas. Throughout Scripture, you find where God says no and reroutes people, because we don't know why God prohibited them from going those directions, but there must have been some danger or just not his perfect plan. So he says, no, now go this way. There have been times in my life, I can honestly now say, I'm thankful God said no to me, because it wasn't God's plan. You know, when I was in school, in high school, my grades were not good. My career choices were very limited at that stage in my life. And even though I did have two partial scholarships offered to me, one for baseball and to a small Christian school in Chicago, and one to a Mormon school to play football, partial scholarships, wouldn't have paid the whole way. I knew I'd never go pro, even though, you know, some may have thought I might. But I knew I couldn't. I didn't have that kind of skill. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. But as a 17-year-old, I knew these two things. I love to drive, and I love to travel and see things. So I believed God's best for me was to get a trucker's license and go long distance. I think, literally, that's my thought process, you know, as I'm turning 17. And I'll never forget the night I was out on the middle of a football field. That's where I would go to Western High School in Las Vegas, Nevada. I would climb over the fence. I'd go right out there where I played, you know, every Friday night. And I'd sit on the 50-yard line, and I'd pray, God, just help me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I think I'm just going to be a long-distance truck driver. Would you allow me to do that? Would you give me a CDL? You know, I don't even know if I can pass the test, but I want to do this with my life. And God basically told me, no. That's not my plan for you. My plan is that you're going to be in the ministry. And he didn't define all that, but at one particular evening, I'll never forget it, I was impressed upon so loudly by the still voice of God. You're going to be in the ministry. You're not going to be a truck driver. So career choices. Sometimes God says no because he wants you in a different place. There was a young lady in high school that I thought I was going to marry. Now, I've been married happily for 23 years to my wife, Jennifer. I would never want anybody else. But as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, there was somebody else I thought I was going to marry. I'd pray that I'd marry her. She was the greatest thing in the world. And I was so limited. The only reason I thought she was the greatest thing is because she actually loved me back a little. You know, sometimes you date people just because they're interested, you know, not because they're the best for you. And so I prayed, and you know what God told me? No. You know how he said it? Through her lips. No. You ever hear God's voice through someone else's, you know? And she said no, and I was crushed. I walked around for weeks and a day just like, I can't believe it. Now, how many of you have been back to a reunion after 10, 15, 20, 40 years, and you're absolutely thankful God said no to you? That's all I'll say, but I'm so thankful God said no, because God had a better yes somewhere else where I didn't get to know it at that time, but God revealed that later. I love you. We did go back for that 20 year, and my wife laughed. That's the one? Oh, never mind. Never mind. One of the reasons God says no to us, because he has a bigger perspective. The second thing is when God has a better plan. God always has a better plan. But sometimes our perspective is so limited, and what we're asking for doesn't see the bigger perspective and what God may be doing. And so we got to trust that God has a better plan. When he says no to us, it doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It means he loves us better to show us something greater. God has a better plan. God will always accomplish his will, but sometimes his will is different than ours. He has a better idea with his infinite wisdom. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You know, have you found that to be true sometimes in your life? You know, you have your ways and your thoughts, but God says, no, but my ways are different. My ways are greater. My thoughts are better. And you notice it's plural here. I want you to see that. It's plural. God doesn't just have one thought. He has multiple options of what he could do. But regardless of what you're thinking, God has multiple options, and he will meet your needs in his best ways, not your own prescribed ways. God, I have a prayer. God, I'm praying that you will do this. And we actually, rather than just seeking his wisdom, we give him our will. And God says, not my will at all. And that's not the greatest way. If you understood these things, I've got a better plan. Let me just say no to this. It may hurt your feelings for a few moments, but you will be satisfied when you just trust that my plan is better. When God says no, don't think it's not loving you. Realize that his thoughts, his ways are far greater. God is never backed into a corner. He's never limited in his options. His ways are greater, and when we see the whole picture and when we're done with the whole process, we will look back and say, thank you, Father, for your greater plans. Some people have financial issues. Some people struggle with their health, and we look for answers, or we even look for wisdom from other people who've been through this. And God may use the same methods of solution with you that he used with someone else. But he's not limited to just using those ways. He may have an entirely different way of solving your issue because he has a different plan for your life to grow you. God can say no to your ideas of how to solve the issue and bring about a greater way to bring himself more glory and you more joy. You know, I've met those who have prayed for a baby, and God said no to a physical birth. But over time, when they were able to adopt a child, I've seen those children who are just incredibly loved, and the match was made literally in heaven. God said no to a physical birth, but provided a way to parent through other means, and those parents are completely happy and joyful at God's ways of solving that. I've also been with some parents who've tried everything under the sun physically, medically, to have babies, and God said no to all those ways. And when they stopped using all of man's made ways, then physically they got pregnant. It's in God's timing. It was no to this, but wait, I've got the answer for you in my timing, and it'll give you far more joy. Often our prayers, we ask God to answer it according to our will and our ways, because our ways are always more logical. But when we pray, we've got to give or put our ways aside and ask God to take his route, take us through his ways. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's the hall of faith, if you will, listing several people throughout the passage of who was used of God in unique ways. But at the end of that chapter, it says this in verse 39. In all these, let me just turn to there real quick, because I'll give you a perspective of, you think, well, gosh, those are some wonderful people, and they did some incredible things, but you need to always read the entire chapter to get a perspective. It's not just about those who had faith, but look at the kind of faith they had to have in the difficult circumstances. Let me just go back down to verse 36. It won't be on the screen, but listen. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. This first century Christians who were converting from Judaism to Christianity, and some of them were suffering in the lion's den and other places in Rome being mocked. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, sawed in half. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. I mean, these are people having faith in God, but the difficulties, and perhaps they're crying out, God, relieve us from this. And God said, no, it's not the right time. It's not because I don't love you, but there's a reason I'm allowing you to go through this. And it continues on. And they went about in those skins, and of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in the deserts and mountains and the dens and the caves of the earth. And then verse 39, and all of those people we just spoke of, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Life never got easy for them, and even put to death. Since God had provided, now this is the hope. Since God had provided something better. Realize on this planet, we may not see what is best. But even through all the difficulty, they retained their faith because the promise was not necessarily going to be fulfilled here, but there was something better. You realize this world is not our home. And God may say no to many reliefs throughout our life, but he has promised something better to come. It goes on for better, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect here. So God has a better plan. Sometimes he says no because he has a better plan. Just Old Testament review. You know, Daniel, he knew God's heart. He wanted to pray. And then, you know, even at the thought of going into the lion's den, I'm sure in his thoughts, as Kim was kind of speculating earlier about the thoughts of those sitting around the table with Jesus, you know, what does Daniel think? Oh, Lord, you'll just protect me from the lion's den. You won't allow me to go in there. But what did God say to that particular thought if he was praying that? No, God says, no. Actually, I'm going to allow you to go into the lion's den, but my way will be different than what your way is. My plan will be I'll just shut the lion's mouth. Brings God more glory, and it builds more faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not going to bow to this big temple or this big statue. We're not going to do it. Even if you throw us into the fiery pit, well, we don't want to go there. God protects us from the fiery pit. But even if you throw us in there, we're not going to renounce our faith. So what does the king do? He throws them in the fiery pit. They may be praying, God, don't allow me to go through the fire. And God says, no, my plan is you're going to go in it. But not only are you going to go in the fiery pit, I'm going to be right there with you. And even the fire won't even burn your shoestrings. Nothing. You'll be protected and preserved in the difficulty. Joshua, he's commander and leader and knows what it means to fight. And once he takes the baton from Moses, now Moses is dead and he has to lead them into Jericho, crossing the Jordan River. And right before they do that, they circumcise all their men, so they're a little weak during the time. But Joshua's whole goal, we're going to go in, we're going to fight, we're going to destroy Jericho. And God says, no. What you're going to do, big commander in chief, you're going to walk around. And just walk around 7 days in a row. Well, what kind of strategy is that? No, just walk around and then you're going to blow the little trumpets. And then you're going to see what I can do. God will say no to us when he has a better plan, even if that plan seems so odd, because God is the one we depend upon to do the most miraculous things. Do you trust God that he has a greater strategy to your life than you do? So we ought to learn to embrace his no's, trusting that God has something greater. He has a better plan. Paul's desire was to reach Rome. Throughout all of his letters, and as we went verse by verse through the book of Acts, we saw Paul's heartbeat. I've got to get to Rome. One day I'm going to go to Rome. Perhaps he was thinking, I'll take the cruise ship to Rome, and I'll get there, and I'll go right to the Roman Colosseum, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to have a massive crusade. I'm going to preach the gospel to everyone. That was Paul's heart, to get the gospel to Rome, because if you can impact Rome, you would impact the whole Roman Empire. Every corners of the earth would be impacted by the gospel if he could just get to Rome. And as he prayed for that opportunity to raise some resources and provide a way there, God said no to the cruise. God said no to the Roman Colosseum for Paul. What was God's plan and his way for Paul to get there? Roman imprisonment. No, you're going to get there, but it's not going to be good. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be stoned. You're going to be beaten. You're going to have some difficulties of delay as you end up on an island for a little while. But eventually, I'm going to get you to Rome, but not through the big crusade. I'm going to get you through the back door. To your right and left are going to be Praetorian guards that are going to be chained to you all the time. It's going to be difficult days, but guess what's going to happen? And as we saw this through the book of Acts, he was chained to them. So what did he do? He shared the gospel with these guards, and there is evidence in Roman history that some of those guards were saved. And some of those guards who had access not only to Paul, but had to go into Nero's home, shared the gospel with Nero's family. And Nero never confessed Christ, but there's evidence that his children did. How would Paul have ever gotten that kind of audience to impact? You know, while Paul was in prison as well, he wrote half of the New Testament. Now tell me, what is a better plan? Paul's way to get to Rome or God's way to get to Rome? What made a greater impact over the history of Christianity? God's way. The writings that he wrote based on the Holy Spirit's promptings. The people that he was chained to and the influence that they had. God's way is always better, even though we may not always embrace the difficulty of it. It says no because he has a better plan. Here's the third thing. God has a greater purpose. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel will or shall stand, and I will accomplish my purposes. I want to use the New Living Translation just for a moment, because I like the reading of that for the understanding. It's a bit up on the next screen. Saying it a little different way. Typically, we're using the English Standard Version, if you didn't know that. But here's the New Living. It says, only I can tell you the future. This is God speaking. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Do you believe that God can do whatever he wants? Everybody likes to talk about the free will of man, but what about the free will of God? God is the sovereign one. He can do anything he wants. And sometimes in him saying no to you, he's saying, I have a greater purpose behind all of it that you may not understand. God has never come to me in all my life asking for my counsel. God has never said, well, what do you think about this? I've been kind of working this plan, but Chris, well, give me some wisdom here. No, God is all wise and he does things according to his will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, so we do not lose heart, Paul says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Verse 18, as we look not at things that are seen through all the difficulties and the days and our civilization, with all of these things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that which are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God's purposes always have an eternal implication. When we pray and we ask God to answer certain things in certain times, it's because we have a temporary issue that we would like solved. And God says, you know what? I may say no here because I have a greater purpose that deals with eternity that you can't see right now. Just trust me. Behind every problem, there is a purpose. And that purpose is an eternal purpose that you may not see now or understand right now, but trusting in God with the temporary, he will take care of the eternal. Someone said that circumstances are like a mattress. Very comfortable when you're on top, but very suffocating when you're underneath them. So we should never see ourselves as underneath our circumstances. God has them under control. You know, Paul prayed for healing. He had a thorn in his flesh. We're not sure with absolute certainty what that thorn in the flesh was, the ailment that he had. Some people say it's his eyes. Some people say just his other physical health issues. Some people just say some other difficulties to get certain places. But Paul prayed, God, would you remove this? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Father, remove this difficulty from me. But in verse 9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, it goes on, therefore I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, Paul said, so that the power, the strength of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You realize when God says no, he's wanting you to depend more on him and his purposes and his strength. We are weak. We're broken vessels, but God is the absolute omniscient and omnipotent one who comes in and gives you the strength that you need to even endure the no's of your prayers. You know, one of the marks of maturity and faith is the ability to accept no as an answer. Immature people will not accept no for an answer. They whine, they fight to get their way. I mean, just watch children. Why can't I wear this, Mom? No, you can't wear that. You know, why can't I do this, Dad? No, it's not the best for you. No. And children may run off and whine. But as adult children of God, are we just whining about God's no, or are we saying, his wisdom is best, and we may not understand it, but we'll trust him? What to remember when God says no to you? First, that God, everything God does, he does out of love. Romans 8:28, and we know that there are those things, or that for those who love God, all things work according for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Second thing you ought to remember is every time He says, no, he's giving us grace. Every time God gives grace in that. Consider Paul's words again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that I should that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the strength, the power of Christ may rest on me. Grace, in this passage, is the power to do what is right. My grace is sufficient because it's the strength, the power to do what is right. That is a grace gift. So how do we respond? How do you respond to when God says no to you? You can resist it, fight back, reject his answer, go your own way. You could resent God, accept it, but resent him. Why? You could doubt his love. You can have a pity party. You can say, why me? Asking why is okay. Asking why me, as if, you know, why not them over there and me? As if you're God's favorite child out of all the planet. You just need to trust him. We could resist him. We could resent him. But what he's asked us to do is relax and rejoice, knowing that God is in sovereign control, has a greater purpose. Faith is strengthened when we just follow God and depend upon him. So let me ask you, what is it you've been praying for that God has said no? A new job? Future spouse? For your spouse not to leave you that you have? Perhaps you've been praying for an extended life for a loved one who's struggling physically. We have two people, even in our midst now, that have people in their lives that are close to death. How do you pray in that situation? You pray for God's power in that, certainly, but you pray for God's will to be done. We want to extend, if that'd be God's will, but perhaps God's answer to the waiting and sometimes to a no to our prayers is that he has a greater purpose in the situation. God has a bigger perspective. God has a better plan. God has a greater purpose. Maybe he's protecting you now from what you cannot see in the future. Maybe our prayers ought to have more trust than submitted plans. Maybe we ought to pray, God's will be done, and not, God, here's my will, please do it. We'll conclude there. I'm going to invite my prayer team to come up. We have a prayer team every week. Yeah, somebody to my right, somebody to my left, to stand up here for you. As you have a heart need, you want to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. These people have some wisdom to them, but they know where the wisdom comes from, and they'd like to pray with you and for you. And I'm going to invite you to join them. You can do that now or even at the conclusion of the service. These are times that you can get right with the Lord. Maybe you want to join the church. These folks will be very beneficial and helpful to you, and I'm going to encourage you to just respond as the Lord leads you to do that. This is our time that we take, or we receive. We don't take an offering. They do that in New York. We receive an offering. We don't take anything from you. As you want to give, you get to do that as a part of your membership and regular attending. If you're a guest with us, this is not your part of the service unless you feel compelled. But we ask you to actually go back to the VIP area after the service and receive something from us. So we'll receive our offering in just a few moments, and I'll pray. Actually, I'll pray, and then I'm going to introduce you to a couple of folks who are serving our church this summer. So let me pray for us, and then we'll sing together in just a moment. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for, even when we don't understand why you say no to some of our prayers, but Father, I pray you'd give us the spirit of receptivity and trust, that we can love you and trust that your plan is greater, that your ways are higher, and your love is better than we could ever imagine. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Now, as we receive our offering today, may you use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. May people be transformed by the gospel because of the monies that are being used here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.